This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We've been telling you can win Caps tickets, so let's make good on that. In honor of Alex Ovechkin, caller number 8 right now at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Caps and the Bruins, Cap One Arena, October 12th, 7 p.m. Capitals home opener presented by Geico. Buy your tickets now at washcaps.com/tickets. Let's give away another pair of these at 6 o'clock ahead of Eric Eager, by the way.
I agree to your terms.
So caller number 8 right now, you're winning a pair. We got another pair of the good seats to the opener in 2 hours. Make sure you're listening and able to call in at that time. It is Beltway Blitz time on G&D, so let's hop to it. We'll start you off on the diamond. You know we got to talk Nats. We do that every single day on this show. If you listen, you know that. Andrew Golden of the Washington Post covers the Washington Nationals. Their season ended yesterday. They got beat by the Mets. Mercifully, Andrew, it's over. It's all over, bro. They can't hurt you anymore. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm definitely a little bit tired, so I'll probably sleep until next season. So I'm looking forward to that.
There's going to be like 2 more rain delays this week somehow, some way, Andrew. Just to stave that off.
I don't know what was going on this week. I mean, it was awful. Like every day, every single day, it was like you never knew what you're going to get. It was crazy all weekend.
So let's get to it. I mean, obviously disappointing for a million reasons. I didn't think they'd be any good, but I didn't think they'd be this bad. Did they think they'd be close to this bad?
I doubt it. I mean, I don't know if they would have expected to be the worst team, especially given the fact that they had Juan Soto and Josh Bell on the team this year, to begin the year at least. I don't think they would have expected they would have been this bad. But, these are kind of the growing pains of kind of rebuilding. And they've been there before. Mike Rizzo repeated it all week that he's been there before. I don't know if they expected to be this bad, but I think they could have expected to kind of be towards the bottom of the league record-wise.
107 losses, 5 more than anybody else. They finished the season with 5 straight and 8 of their last 10 in the L column. They don't get the number one pick outright, though, and I hate this. Everyone was celebrating and high-fiving because they got rid of what the old draft system called for. Now there's a lottery to try to prevent quote-unquote tanking. I believe in allowing teams to do what they want to do to rebuild. If Mike Elias and the Orioles want to suck for 5 years so that they can get Adley Rutschman and Grayson Rodriguez and Gunnar Henderson and do what they've done, they should be allowed to do that. But I'll get off my soapbox for a second. So now we got to sit and wait and see. I mean, the Nats could have as low as the 7th pick because of this stupid system that I hate. They're likely to have a top 3 pick. They have a 16% chance at the number 1 pick. And what can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is. It's tough for the Nationals that, you know, this is the year where things kind of change in that sense. And obviously, you know, look at the success they had, the two bad years they ended up with, Strasburg and then Bryce Harper. So clearly it worked out well. So it is kind of unfortunate for Nats fans. That kind of is how it's gone this year. But like you said, they still have a good chance for at least a top 3 pick. And, you know, maybe it'll end up working out. They get number 1 anyway. But yeah, it should be interesting to see how that all plays out.
What is the latest with Steven Strasburg? Last we heard, you know, he had to do things left-handed, was only comfortable lying down with his right hand on his chest. Doesn't sound like a guy that's going to throw 96 at spring training next year.
Yeah, I think it's obviously the big question still. And we asked Mike Rizzo about it the other day, and he still didn't have any, you know, definitive answers on what we'll see. But it's been a hard journey back for him, and I'm not really sure what the update's going to be on him, but it would be a bit of a surprise to see him ready for spring training, especially given how everything has gone the past couple of years.
So ownership aside, that's obviously the biggest question as far as Nats baseball for this offseason goes. On the field, storylines, personnel, coaching staff, any of that. What else is there? I mean, kind of give us the primer as someone on the beat of what lies ahead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously talking about ownership, and then I think looking at kind of how they maybe spend money, you know, this winter. I don't expect them to be super aggressive. I expect them to kind of have a similar year to last year, where they, you know, try to get some veteran guys, and maybe they can flip at the deadline for some prospects. But I expect a lot of the same guys in the mix next year. I mean, I think like you mentioned, I think this is just a big offseason to see how guys will kind of make that jump from this year to next year. You saw guys kind of get opportunities this year to play in the majors, and I think, you know, the big thing looking forward to next year is what did they learn from that? You know, what did they work on the offseason to kind of put themselves in better positions to kind of be more successful and take that next step? So, like, guys like Josiah Gray, the K-Burn Ruizes, the C.J. Abrams, and Luis Garcia of the world, what are they doing to kind of take that next step?
Andrew Golden, check him out in the post throughout the offseason covering the Nats. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on this.
Quickly, before we move on, I have heard from a few different people that, and I'll say are plugged in, but, you know, nobody that knows exactly what's happening.
Okay.
This is not a report. This is not a, hey, I'm reporting this. It's just something I've heard.
Okay.
I have heard rumblings like, what if the learners don't sell? That make me uncomfortable. Because it seems, when you watch this team, when you see the payroll, when
like
you
that
see
train
the decision,
left town, like that was done, right?
It seems like they have checked out. But in varying degrees of semi-plugged in, I have talked to Pete more than one person now who's been like, how sure are we that they're going to sell? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that they were going to sell that they never did because they couldn't get the money they wanted. It's still called Nationals Park. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could have sold the naming rights.
Totally fair point. And a potential buyer going, yeah, this Masson thing ain't resolved. I'm not giving you what you think you want.
Well, that's the big point.
Right?
Is that specifically Leontis, obviously. Ted Leontis, if he wants to buy the team, it's going to have to be that the Masson deal devolves or gets fixed. But if they can't sort out the Masson deal, owner is not going to give them what they want for that team. They're not going to get what they want. So if they can't fix the Masson deal, are they going to sell the team for 80 cents on the dollar? Again, I'm not going hard in the paint. I'm just saying we are all just talking about this like it is a foregone conclusion. And I've had more than one smart person recently say to me, what if they don't sell? And to that I would say, that would be a backbreaker. That would not be
That's
fun.
What I would say.
All right, let's move along on the Blitz. Talk a little hockey. Samantha Pell covers the Caps for the Washington Post as well. Samantha, exhibition game last night, TJ Oshie, upper body injury. What happened?
Yeah, it didn't look great. He was knocked around along the boards there in the second period, and he actually got up and kind of hobbled his way down the locker room tunnel, and he did not return. And the team announced today that it was an upper body injury. He's day-to-day, and honestly, day-to-day is kind of the best-case scenario. Just watching that hit, it didn't look great. His right shoulder was really crushed there along the board. So who knows if it is really a day-to-day listing, but for now, it's pretty positive.
Sam, what are the biggest questions right now facing this roster, facing maybe Coach L, or is it, you know, line construction? Give me kind of the headlines coming into this season.
Yeah, I would say the biggest question marks, I think, is how you kind of put together the forward corps. You look at the guys, there's a lot of veteran players, and I think, honestly, with TJ Oshie injury, if he is out to start the season, we don't know how long he will be out, but if he is out to start the season, it could open up a roster spot for one of these younger guys like Alexi Protas, Connor McMichael, and maybe we start to see some shakeups there. But I would say that's one of the biggest question marks. And then actually one of the probably least question marky position is the goalies. I mean, Darcy Kuemper there in goal, he's your clear number one, and he's the one that's going to be carrying you for the majority of the season.
I was talking to someone this week, and my thought was, well, maybe they'll be better off come the playoffs because Wilson won't have all the mileage on his body. If you get Backstrom back in the postseason and he hasn't played all year, I feel like with their age, they wear down by the end of the year. And their rebuttal to me was, they got to make the playoffs first. I mean, I'm just kind of expecting they're a playoff team because they have been every single year just about for 15 years. Adam Oates as a disaster notwithstanding. How sure are we that this is a playoff club just as they roll the pucks out to begin the season?
I think if you were to ask me this at the end of last season, I would say I honestly do not know if this team is going to make the playoffs, but just looking at Brian McClellan's offseason acquisitions with Dylan Strome, Connor Brown, Darcy Kuemper, I think they had an almost perfect offseason, and it was really all you could ask for. And so I do think they're primed to be in a good position. I don't think they're going to be the best team by any means. I'm not sure if we're going to see them, you know, number one place on January 1st like we did last season. But I do think they are a team that has a lot of pieces that can come together. And to your point, they're probably only going to grow stronger with a healthy Tom Wilson, potentially a healthy Nicholas Backstrom at some point this year.
Sam, of the holdovers from last year to this year, who do they need to get more out of? I've got a couple names in particular, but I'm curious to see what you might say.
Oh, gosh. Let me, like, go through the roster in my head here. More out of, I mean, I would say Anthony Mantha is the first name that pops into my head. He's a guy that showed kind of those flashes at points. I mean, he had 10 hits in that postseason game, and he kind of cracked afterwards, though. That was the last time you're going to see that from me. So I think Anthony probably needs to step up there offensively just to kind of help out the roster without Wilson and Backstrom. And then, I mean, defensively, it's kind of weird to say, but I do think John Carlson probably has to have a very, very strong year back there and continue to kind of pull this blue line together.
I saw that Mantha and his wife just welcomed a baby girl yesterday, I believe. So congratulations to them. That'll give him a chance to hopefully get at least two legitimate nights of sleep between now and next week.
Good timing there.
When they open the season. Samantha, thank you so much. We appreciate
you. Thanks,
Sam. Absolutely.
Be well. Sam Pell of the Post on the Caps. All right, let's keep the train on the tracks here.
Come on, Dan. One and three.
Ethan Cadeau, NBCSportsWashington.com. Ethan, coordinators talk today. Any storylines?
Just a lot of compliments from Jack Del Rio to Derrick Henry and the tough front. The defense has actually stopped the run well the last 2 weeks, so that's going to be kind of fun little matchup to watch. Scott Turner, he said a lot without saying a lot at the same time. I thought his comment on Carson Wentz, you remember that intentional grounding, the first one where he seemed to hold on to the ball forever before finally putting away. He kind of made it clear, like, hey, he has to get rid of that ball. So it's good to hear him say that, hold everyone accountable, but both sides of the ball need to play a lot better this week if they want to come out with a win.
What if they don't? Like, I don't have a good question here, Ethan. It's very open-ended. You can take it wherever you want. Like, it's not crazy that you would drop a game to the Titans here this week. The Titans start off very poorly. They've played better the last couple weeks. They're not juggernauts, but, you know, they're right there. What if they lose this game? Like, dude, what if they lose this game?
Yeah, it's. I think it's already ugly, but it's going to get even uglier. And in 4 days from then, or 4 days from Sunday, they travel to Chicago. And if they were to drop to that team, everything would break loose. It would be even uglier than it is now. And we feel like we're at rock bottom, but rock bottom just keeps getting lower and lower. So they really, really need a win this Sunday.
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show a couple times, but the way you just laid it out kind of crystallized it.
Yeah.
7 days from now, basically, when we go to bed, next Thursday night, they'll have just played the Bears, right?
Yeah.
Is my math correct?
Yeah, it is. You got it.
Okay.
You have it.
Yeah. They're either, like, let's say they win two in a row, they're at 500 and everyone's got them going to the playoffs again. Or
we're hauling oats in it.
Potentially, if they lose both of those games.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what the dot, dot, dot is for the rest of this sentence. But, I mean, there are definitely major sweeping changes happening, right? Something would have to happen.
It's crazy. Like, if they win these two games, the way everyone talks about this team changes within a week. But if they lose both these two games, we might as well just watch every Alabama and Ohio State game the rest of the year to get all the scouting reports on Bryce Young and CJ Stroud we can.
Yeah, I was just watching a lot of Will Levis tape myself, because just in case they're picking like eighth or something
mock
like
draft
that.
Season.
They don't do the top two pick thing very often, and they'll look for a generational defensive player if they get there. Did not practice on Thursday. Percy Butler, Sam Cosmi, Jahan Dotson, Milo Eifler, and Curtis Samuel. Samuel's sick. Hopefully he's better by Sunday, but he hasn't practiced yet. What else should we be worried about here?
I think all of those guys might not play. I mean, Scott Turner said he's hoping one of the two receivers will be back. I would have to say I'd lean Curtis over Jahan just because it's an illness versus a actual injury, but it doesn't look like Cosmi is going to play. Percy Butler could play, but he's not really even in a major role one way or another besides special teams. So it looks like this offensive line is going to be down multiple week one starters again. Cosme, Trey Turner, Wes Schweitzer is obviously not playing, and Chase Roulier is already out for pretty much the season. So the injuries continue to pile up at a time they desperately need to get healthy. And while there's all this optimism that Brian Robinson Jr. could return, which is obviously a great story, and I hope he's out there Sunday, they're just losing other guys left and right. So they really need to get healthy when they need to get these wins at the most.
Ether, were you a Game of Thrones guy?
I hate to say it, but I'm not.
This won't make any sense to you then, so I'll just change I'll pivot the question.
You can just ask the question.
The prince that was promised, right? That's one of the themes throughout the show. This woman who's like a witch who worships this weird like sub-god. She like hung out with this one dude. Turns out it wasn't the right guy, and then she had to go somewhere else. I feel like she's with the wrong guy right now. That's Carson Wentz. We were promised something that's not happening right now. How do we get the prince that was promised?
That's tough because I don't have an instant fix for you there. I mean, he's been a lot better in some areas than the reputation he has, especially like being a leader in the locker room and all that. But a lot of the faults that came with when they acquired him, we're seeing it transpire on the field. And until they get him a better protection scheme, some play designs to get him in a rhythm with some easy throws, I think we're just going to see the same ones we've seen the last few weeks over and over again. And who knows how much longer that'll happen until they reach a boiling point.
Ethan, thank you, buddy. Much appreciate your time on the Blitz.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, dude.
Read Ethan Cadeau at NBCSportsWashington.com. All right, 5 o'clock, we're blitzing the NFC East, and we're at 6 o'clock tonight ahead of Eric Eager, who for a long time worked at PFF and is a friend of the show. We will give away another pair of Caps tickets. That's an hour and 40 minutes away to their opener 6 days from now. But next, let's do our QB approval rating. This is a Tuesday staple. We didn't have phones Tuesday. We had a short show Wednesday because the Nats get rained out a lot. Season's now over, so that won't happen anymore. Carson Wentz approval rating. How do you feel about him as QB1? I'm going to post the poll on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, right now. And we'll take your thoughts on Wentz at 800-636-1067 next, right here on G&D.
Third and two, Wentz lofting, corner of the end zone, caught for the touchdown, Jahan Dotson.
Is Bailey Zappe going to get a start this weekend against the Lions?
By God, that's Zappe's music.
He's going to tie Kenny Pickett for the first rookie to start a game this season. He's already the first rookie quarterback to throw a touchdown because he threw one against Green Bay off the bench. Shouldn't have happened if you watched that game. There was a delay of game by like 3 seconds, and they just forgot to tell anyone. They didn't throw a flag, and they didn't stop them, so then they threw a touchdown. But, man, that would be something.
He's going to light it up, too, because if you play Detroit, you get numbers. Detroit gives up lots of points and yards.
They do.
Yeah.
They also score a lot of points. They'll probably lose that game.
Detroit football is fun. At least it's fun. They're 1-3 also. Their one is against somebody. I can't remember who. But their 1-3 is an enjoyable 1-3. You're going to see a shootout, man.
On average, 40-33, something like that. They're the highest scoring team in the league, and they're 1-3.
Yes.
Figure out that math right now.
Would you guys take that here?
Yes.
If we were just explosive offense, defense was terrible, but hey, we're scoring points. We lead the league in points.
They're already 1-3, and it's not fun.
Right.
You're asking if I would take them being 1-3 and fun?
Sure.
Yes, that is better than 1-3 and categorically unfun.
Because it would feel like, okay, there's something here. I mean, it's a sport. It's a good sports radio question.
It is a great question. But like the question has to be from the premise of you're not working from where they are now, because where they are now is 1-3 with the 32nd offense in the league. And you're saying, would you guys rather be 1-3 with the number one offense in the league? So that's obvious. But if you're saying like, hey, you could go with the grab bag through 4 games of not knowing what you get, or 1-3 and we get to watch an explosive, awesome offense every single week, hell yeah, that's what I want. That's why I was so excited after week 1. They won. That helped a lot. But I was like, this offense, man, I got Dotson. I got McLaurin.
Ford
I got
passes.
Samuel. I got McKissick. I got Gibson. I got the idea of Logan Thomas. I got Cole Turner eventually. And now, what do I got?
What do I got?
I remember being at the game that in week 1 against Jacksonville. And after the McLaurin touchdown, me and my boys, you know, we're all celebrating everything, turn around to each other, we're like, we got an offense, boys. We got an offense.
That was a bomb.
What was the name you said? You said the name, the guy that called, what was his name?
McLaurin.
McLaurin.
Yeah. Oh,
that was a 49-yard silly, that touchdown.
It was. McLaurin's our number one receiver.
Oh, right, they just don't throw him the ball a lot. The extension. Yeah. I remember from the offseason, a guy that you think they would get the ball to.
Now, in fairness to the offense, he got shut down. They threw him the ball this past week.
Six times
is not enough. But four of those, he had a corner that was draped all over him.
Don Drapered.
And couldn't get open. So there are plenty of weeks where I'm mad about their usage. And this week, I would say I'm slightly frustrated.
I'm just regular mad.
Should have been 10 or 12 targets probably. But it wasn't like that was working either. So let's get to our Carson Wentz approval rating then. You guys know how this works. Every single week, all season long, we're going to do, theoretically, 17 of these, because I guess it's not just a Wentz rating. It's a whoever's playing quarterback. We did it last year with Heinicke. We're doing it this year. So I've got the rankings you guys gave based on our polling data over the last 3 weeks, and I just posted a brand new poll, so it is time for the G&D approval rating. Week one, after the aforementioned Jags game with the huge touchdown passes to McLaurin and Dotson in the fourth quarter to win it, four tutties, 300 yards, 93% of you approved Carson Wentz's performance. Then week two happened.
Mm-hmm.
They were shut out for a half against the Detroit Lions. He put up huge numbers in the second half. They battled back. They lost the game because of their defense. They did enough on offense. Very minimal drop-off, almost negligible. I would even say, if I can use a political polling term, margin of error.
Within the plus or minus margin of error.
92% approval rating. Down 1%. Week three, the bottom fell out. This was after Carson Wentz had a tough day against his former mates, the Philadelphia Eagles, and was sacked nine times. They're niner in there, Favre. 56% approval. So week one, 93%, week two, 92%, week three, 56%. We are on a staircase here, and I am fascinated to see how you guys vote today. I will tell you that I posted the poll. It's at Grant H. Paulson right now. You can go check it out. 9 minutes ago, there have been 450 votes so far. 26% of you are approving of the performance Carson Wentz is doing in office as QB1. 74% of you are not. It looks like we will drop off massively again this week.
A cliff. Wow. So I just voted. I voted disapprove. I think there's more that could be done around him. And I'm really looking at Scott Turner here to make it better. But I also think it's, to use my own personal analogy, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a cut that requires lots of stitches. You know what I mean? Like, you can help him, but he's got to help himself. He's just got to do better. Like, when they call certain routes that are open, he's got to throw the ball. He has to throw the ball away. This is the NFL. The other team is good, too. Oh, my God, Philadelphia's pass rushers. Oh, my God, Dallas's pass rushers. Well, this week, there's a kid with four sacks. There's Jeffrey Simmons, who's a really good interior pass rusher. Everybody's going to have somebody every week. Sometimes your lineman's going to get beat. Sometimes you're going to have something unaccounted for. You got to do something on your own, guy. You got to throw the ball away. You got to have that natural instinct that the good ones have where you slide around in the pocket, you move to space, and that's not happening right now. That's not a Scott Turner call. That's not, you know, your third center getting the right protection going. That's just good quarterback play, which he's not doing. If he was doing that too and they were still this bad, I'd go, okay, it's on the other guys. This is his funk that he's in right now, and the walls are caving, and it's hard for him, but it's also hard to do.
Yeah, said differently, I think people oftentimes try to make this an either or, like you have to choose. Is this on the line or is this on Wentz? Is this on the rest of the offense or is this on Wentz? Quarterbacking is almost always going to be helped or hindered by what's going on around you. But you can still evaluate the QB. This is something we said with Heinicke. When, remember, they were dealing with so many injuries and they were devoid of weapons for a couple weeks for him, and he was dealing with basically McLaurin and the cast of misfits from the Island of Misfit Toys or whatever. And my point was always, I'm not expecting greatness, but when you have an open throw and the pocket is clean, make the throw. When you are throwing a pass to a running back, on a Texas route or just on a little out or a wheel or whatever, and they're coming out of the backfield, and it's an easy 90th percentile pitch and catch, make the throw with some ball placement to let them get up to speed.
Yep.
This basic level elementary stuff, are you doing it or not? Are you giving yourself a chance? Are you getting in and out of good plays? Are you making sure that no one's coming from your blind side quickly to the point where you didn't get the ball out and you got hit and that guy was who you were supposed to account for, not someone that was unblocked? Are your five-step drops actually five steps? Like, those are all things that you can control. So is the line playing well? No. Is Scott Turner putting on a clinic? No. Is the offense around him, aside from the receiver position right now, helping him a whole lot? No. How is he playing? Also bad. I mean, it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, it's all.
Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, Chris?
What's up? Hey, Danny, just FYI, following up on what Derek said, Terry McLaurin is the Irish guy that plays for wide receiver.
It would be nice if they familiarized themselves with one another.
Terry McLaurin. By the way, so on a scale, like, October, Halloween is coming up. So let's say on a scale of candy, right? And the minimum worst is Circus peanuts. At the very top is the Reese's peanut butter cup. I got Carson Wentz somewhere in between banana runts and black licorice. That's where he sits right now on my approval scale.
That's harsh.
Black licorice is very gross. I think this will surprise some people. Your boy loves Circus peanuts. I'm also fond of the banana runt.
But you don't want that on Halloween for trick-or-treat time.
Not necessarily.
Right?
I mean, I would take one little package of a couple Circus peanuts, but I'm not trying to major in that.
Yeah, as like a change-up.
I want to major in, now I'm throwing like 85% four-seam fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's Starburst. That's Skittles. That's king-size Kit Kat. You know, that's maybe even Reese's Sticks.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the occasional banana runt.
Yeah, I mean, the lady that gives out apples because she believes, you know, in good health. That, you know what I mean? Like, around the corner. Come on. Enough.
Yeah. That, like, sit this play out.
Not your night.
Exactly. You're going to give out apples because kids are eating too much candy. Keep your lights off and watch a documentary on how bad sugar is. Leave the rest of us alone. And I'll go to the gym. How about that?
That's right.
We'll be out here with our kids walking around, beating trails. Maybe someone's going to give me a little airplane shooter. Maybe I'll down some bourbon or something like that. You, just go to the gym that night and think about how much you hate my guts. Let me have a little fun. Let's go to Ralph in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 50-50 thing with me. Because if the offensive line blocks for the man, I got he can make better throws. So I'm blaming both of them. Because you're the NFL quarterback, and you need to, you know, make a way for yourself. You did it with other teams. Don't fold now since you're here with the Commanders.
Well, he kind of did it with other teams. Remember, the last 2 years, teams have said, no, thank you. So he didn't do it enough with those teams. But the question we're actually asking you is,
he's not even doing enough with us right now.
Then I agree. But that means he doesn't – you're not approving. So 1 to 10, what are you giving him? Like, are you approving of his performance or no?
I like him. Yeah, I'm still going to say 7.5, man. I like the dude. We just need to get this line up to par, and I think he can start, you know, stepping into his throws. I like him, 7.5.
I'm cool with that. Thank you.
That's an approval.
I do think, too, like, how you're viewing this matters. I always kind of grade yes or no, am I approving of the quarterback based on the season to this point. I'm not doing it week to week based on that game. Does that make sense?
It makes good sense to me,
yeah. If I had to vote approve or disapprove of Wentz based on week 4, disapprove.
Right.
Approve, disapprove of Wentz based on week 3, massively disapprove. First 2 weeks, hugely approved. For the duration of the year, we're batting 500. What are my other options? Right now, I'm voting approve of Carson Wentz as QB1. Do I like the job he's doing in office? No, but we're not asking necessarily. Maybe this is semantics. Like, do you approve of his performance currently?
Yeah, it's not that you like this past week.
Right. Do you approve of Carson Wentz as the team's starter right now? And for me, yeah, I still think he's their best option. And through 4 games, he's batting 500. I expected him to bat around 500 at the end of the year. If he can bat close to 600, I thought they could win as many as 10 games. But when you bring a guy like Carson Wentz in, who's the 22nd best quarterback in the league, he's probably going to be good about half the time.
There'll be some up and downs.
So far, been good about half the time. Where are you guys at? 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll blitz the NFC East, get you the latest on the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, coming up in 20 minutes. Remember, at 6 o'clock, I got two tickets that Danny's going to be giving away to one of you guys to go see the Caps on opening night. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's at 6 this evening right here on The Fan. All right, Danny, I'm going to let you pick what I eat for dinner tonight.
Wow.
You ready?
Okay, hold on. No, I'm not. Okay, hold
on. I have three options. We'll get back to the phones in one second. 800-636-1067. QB approval rating update coming your way in just a moment. The wife sent me a text. We got a fresh shipment of HelloFresh,
HelloFresh.
So we got three meals to choose from. Are you ready?
Yes.
Chicken sausage rigatoni.
Chick.
Creamy pink sauce with bell pepper and Parmesan.
Okay.
This is chicken sausage rigatoni. It's a Hall of Fame meal from them.
Okay.
Steakhouse-style pork chops, also one of their Hall of Fame meals.
Pork chops.
Creamy pan sauce, roasted potatoes, lemon, broccoli.
Ooh.
Or, third, certainly not least, a seasonal fave, hot honey Brussels and ricotta flatbread with Parmesan and Italian cheeses.
Okay.
What am I eating for dinner?
That's a flatbread there. That's a great question. The third one doesn't have any meat. But is now kind of the time to do that? Because you're going to have to eat one of these three things.
I'd like, if we're going to rule one out, I'd like to rule that one out. That feels more of a snack.
You can blackball one. Yeah,
I'd love to do that at halftime of a game.
I'm with you. Meals have meat, bread, cheese, and sauce. Otherwise, it's a snack. Doesn't matter how much the portion is. Chicken sausage rigatoni is my answer. Here's what put it over the top for me.
I was leaning in that direction.
Broccoli sucks. That's what put it over the top for me. That's my follow-up to the answer. And rigatoni is a pasta.
I could sub in Brussels sprouts, possibly.
You could mix and match?
Well, I mean, we just have stuff in our fridge that could be made. We could make Brussels sprouts.
Chicken sausage rigatoni. Yeah, the royal. Mm-hmm. Chicken sausage, I'm down with. I've been doing that a lot lately. Because it's not like normal chicken, because like a normal chicken breast is just boring and dumb and flavorless and joyless.
Sausage.
But a chicken sausage with a little spice to it and a rigatoni, and a rigatoni soprano, do that.
All right, I will do it. You chose my meal.
That was a lot of pressure.
Here is your updated vote. Polling going on at Grant H. Paulson. We're at 800 votes right now. Fourth QB approval rating. We do one every single week. The approval of Carson Wentz is QB one of the Commanders. 24.6% say yes.
Wow.
75% say no. So if you're keeping score at home, 93% of you liked him after week one. 92% of you were in on Wentz after week two. That was down into the 50s last week, and we're sitting now at 25%. Let's go to Josh in LA on G&D listening on the Odyssey app. Josh, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, bud?
I give him a six. You know, I don't think he's played really well in about 2.5 games now, but for the most part, I think he's capable of playing well. And the offensive line is a complete mess. And I think Turner is not calling the right plays. I mean, I'm no offensive coordinator, but I would scheme every play that I can that he can do well and build your offense around that week to week. Whatever it is he does well, those are the plays you have in the package. And I don't think he's doing that.
Thanks. So I agree with much of that phone call. I mean, the crux of it being, he has not played well the last couple of weeks. No one would refute that. I think there is better in there, and I think we saw it for two games.
Yeah.
Hell, I think you saw it for the majority of last season in Indianapolis when he had a 4-1 touchdown interception ratio. A little bit deceiving, but I mean, you look at the numbers from Indy last year.
It was better than these last two games.
They were not bad, and the game script, I think, allowed for him to be a bit of a caretaker, and he was able to execute that. The first two games, at least, you know, game one against Jacksonville, they played from in front. Game two, they had to come battling back, and he was kind of chasing the game and put up numbers that way. But the last two games, they've been under siege, and they haven't really been able to do anything they wanted to do offensively. Vic and Akakik, you are live on G&D. What's up?
What's up, Brian? What's up, Danny?
Hey, buddy.
Chilling.
I do not approve. Carson is very Carmelo Anthony-ish. The offense stops with him because he's a one-read quarterback. And this is why I like what the caller said. Give him the plays that will help him to be most successful. This is what Bill Walsh did with Steve Young and Joe Montana. A lot of people don't even know that. Like they saw the maturation of Montana, they saw the maturation of Steve Young. But there was a time when Steve Young couldn't even audible plays, and it was a time when Montana was given a script sheet. He was told, you're going to run these plays because this is what I like. This is what Bill Walsh used to say to him. Turner is not doing that. Turner's putting in 7-step drops, 5-step drops, per the situation of football that we're in. And with the way our offensive line is playing, we have no tempo, and it's putting him in situations where he cannot use his feet or get rid of the ball quickly. Nonetheless, though, he has to get rid of the ball a lot quicker, and he has to stop looking at one receiver. And I would just like to think that he's been playing in the NFL long enough to know how to read and see who's open based on the plays that he's running. And this is why I give him a 5, and this is why I don't approve of Carson right now.
Appreciate the call, dude. Throw stuff there. I mean, for me, it's like you saw just even within one game, first half against Detroit where he's turtled, where he looks like he's hunting defenders to be hit by, versus the second half where I know the protection was better, but he looked natural. He looked like an NFL quarterback doing NFL quarterback things at a time where quarterbacks are more protected and it's easier to throw than it's ever been. I mean, their play-action game right now is terrible. Nobody's buying any of the fakes, and yet they ran well against Dallas this past week. What gives there? I don't know if that's a Carson Wentz thing. I don't know if that's he's not carrying out the fake very well. I don't know if the linemen are doing something wrong. I don't know.
Well, they have notoriously had offensive linemen grade way better as run blockers than pass blockers over a couple of years. Some of the same guys year to year, too. Yep. So it is possible that they have assembled a line that is much better at blocking in the running game than the passing game.
Which was the excuse in Indianapolis last year, right? Because Jonathan Taylor's rushing for almost 2,000 yards, but Carson Wentz is getting hammered every play. So maybe, well, we're just better
at
run blocking.
That's a pretty good line, though.
I know. And I guess that's... But last year, all of a sudden, they were bad when Wentz was back there.
Well, I mean,
they're struggling this year, too.
They were hurt last year, too.
They were.
Just being fair. I mean, they had a game against the Cardinals where they were down, I think, 6 linemen around Christmas time. I mean, weirdly, he got hit a bunch.
Like, yes.
That's part of it. But I don't think anyone would dispute that Carson Wentz, in his career, makes life difficult for those protecting him. He holds on to the ball. Historically, statistically, that's proven. He is not a ball-out quickly guy. That's just not what he is.
Right.
I don't think he ever will be that. He made so many plays early in his career, a lot of them against this team, by the way.
That's right.
You guys remember what they look like. That it's almost like he's chasing that high. He wants to do that again. And I'm not sure if he can still do it or not. He hasn't really this year. But because of that, he's hanging on to the ball, trying to live to fight 3 seconds later. And normally bad things happen when you do that. Ray's in D.C. on the Fan. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, bud.
I appreciated what the couple of previous callers said about schemes and trying to put him in a position to optimize, his strengths. He's got good tools. I'm optimistic. I'm at a 6, but I'm trending upward. I know I may not be going with everyone else, but I just think that the line's been tough. There's been some injuries on the defensive side. And look, I've been a fan for a long time, so I sometimes laugh at myself. Am I just so loyal that I'm making excuses?
That's part of it, dude. It's your fandom.
I do love the idea, though. He's like, I'm trending up with him. 32nd in yards per play right now. Last 2 weeks, they have not been able to get out of their own way.
I know there hadn't been results or it hasn't looked very good, but...
They've scored 18 points and he's been sacked 11 times. And he's like, I'm really starting to like this Wentz guy. Those first two games when he and Mahomes were the only ones with 7 touchdowns and a couple of 300-yard games, I wasn't as sold. But now, these last 2 weeks, I like what I'm seeing. But I get it, and I understand where you're coming from. I kid because I care. G&D on the Fan, 6 o'clock, Eric Eager stops by. That's when we're giving away a pair of tickets to go see the Capitals. Let's blitz the NFC East next. This division might be back, man. The Giants are 3-1. The Eagles are 4-0. The Cowboys are 3-1. We'll look into what they've got on tap this weekend next right here on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.